views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's day is December the 1st, 2016. First day of the last month of 2016. This year has truly gone by very, very fast. A lot of things have happened this year of consequence, and I tell you, I'm just happy to make it through this year. Let's see, we do have a couple of news stories that we want to share with you today. Today will just be basically an open line, open news day, but I have chosen a couple of news articles that I would like to share with our listening audience today. By the way, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News, part of the Black Talk Radio Network, broadcasting every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch our streams at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Also look for Black Talk Radio in the TuneIn app. And, of course, we're also live streaming on YouTube as well. Do have a couple of news stories that I want to share, but before I get into those news stories, give you a rundown of those news stories, let me just give you the call-in information in case anybody has a question or comment that they would like to ask during today's broadcast. You can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. That's toll-free USA and Canada. The other ways you can get in touch with us, you can also call us on the 704-802-5056 number. That's 704-802-5056. And, of course, we also can allow you to call in via your computer no matter where you are in the world by using the web phone. And you can also get some international numbers from uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Some of the stories that I want to discuss with you, CEO Obama gave an interview recently in which he says cannabis, and for those who don't know the scientific name for the plant, you may know it as pot or reefer or something to that nature. So he gave an interview recently to a magazine, and he says that cannabis should be regulated like tobacco and alcohol. But once again, he's refusing to use the power of his office to bring about those changes. 15-year-old black freshman at Clackamas Academy of Industrial Science in Oregon City, Oregon, is being terrorized by white students. She is the only black person at her school. We know Oregon is pretty much a white state, probably 90% white. Who knows why her parents chose to live in Oregon City, probably something to do with their job or something of that nature. But she's the only black person going to this high school, and she is being terrorized by the white students at that school. So we want to take a look at that. The Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office has charged 31-year-old Daniel Porter Kelly. This is an update from yesterday. We will keep following this story concerning the murder of William Sims. He's also been charged with a hate crime enhancement. Now, as I reported on Tuesday, the two other suspects are still on the loose. and they are considered armed and dangerous. They are still looking for 32-year-old Ray Simmons of Hercules, California, and 31-year-old Daniel Ortega from Richmond or Novato, California. These men have been on the loose for about a week and a half now. It's going into 2 weeks. And, you know, I was talking to my family members and I asked them, had they heard anything about the murder of this man, William Sims, in Richmond, California? And they had not heard anything about it, hadn't seen it on the national news networks like CNN, MSNBC. I don't watch them a lot, so I may miss them, but this is a story that is failing to generate any kind of national headlines. Again, as I stated Tuesday, what if this was two men of let's just say two black men. Let's say this was two black men or two Arab men with Muslim sounding names and what have you. If this was them and they were still, and they done this, and let's say William Sims was a white person, and they murdered William Sims, you better believe, man, you'll be hearing about it nationally. They probably would deploy police officers from several different states. Oh, yeah, like they did. What was his name? The former L.A. police officer, also military veteran that went on the rampage, and he blamed racism for his rampage and police brutality. I can't remember. Christopher Dorner. Man, they deployed thousands of police officers to get that one man, just to get him. But now you got two terrorists on the loose, and I'm not seeing the same response. So I want to share some more details of that. As these reports of racist terrorism of non-white people by white people in the United States continue to escalate, so is black gun ownership, according to reports. I will share that news with you from NBC. Actually, the gun ownership among black people has been going up dramatically since before Trump was elected. But with the I imagine with Trump and the rhetoric and the hate crimes that we're seeing, like the murder of Mr. William Sims by these white terrorists, it's a logical response to terrorism is gun ownership. So we can talk about that. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is calling for the Department of Justice to promptly and thoroughly investigate reports of brutal and abusive police tactics which have been employed against the peaceful water protectors opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. He has been the only person in government, the only elected politician in Congress or the Senate, the House or the Senate, who has said anything. President Obama has been brutally quiet over this, like he's brutally quiet about a lot of things. So anyway, not surprising there that he hasn't said anything about this excessive use of force against these unarmed people by the corporate cronies, or I should say the mercenaries, as well as law enforcement, public law enforcement, of the private companies that's trying to put in this Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. Let's see. As I suspected Tuesday, I have an update about the young man, the Somalian immigrant who was Ohio State University student, who drove his car into a crowd of other students, then got out of his car and started stabbing people. And he was shot dead by a cop during his rampage. And I said Tuesday, I believe it was, yeah, Tuesday, I said that this is probably because they're trying to figure out a motive. I said this is probably because of Trump and all the things he's been saying against Muslims and about Islam and about the hate crimes against Muslims and other people, non-white people. And he probably just snapped. And we heard law enforcement, according to the reports I was reading on Tuesday, trying to say, oh, this is connected to ISIS and blah, blah, blah. And they're not providing any kind of proof for that. And I said it was probably because of everything I just mentioned that he's seeing. that he's seeing. Well, they dug up a interview that he gave to another student who was writing for, I guess it's a student paper or something, and they had an assignment where they were supposed to interview different people part of the Ohio State University community, and he was the first one that this student journalist interviewed. And in this interview, interestingly, he points out, not surprisingly, but interestingly, he points out all the stuff I just mentioned. Said that he was even afraid to pray for fear of being attacked by one of these white terrorists. So definitely want to follow up on that particular story. They're trying to play dumb and stupid, like he had to be connected to some CIA-sponsored, Mossad-sponsored, MI6-sponsored terrorist organization like ISIS. So just as I suspected, it seems that I was correct, that he was reacting to the verbal and the physical terrorism that mainly white people have been perpetrating against people of non-white descent, or may have a religion that they don't like, so they feel like it gives them the right to terrorize people. So, but I do have some breaking news. This wasn't part of my original lineup of stories that I wanted to share, but I do have some breaking news for you. The trial of the ex-South Carolina police officer Michael Slager, who we all saw on video gunning down Walter Scott as he was like, what, 25, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards away from him. And we saw him getting this little shooting stance and murder that man and shoot him in the back while he was running. Then we all saw him plant the taser on the dead body as another cop, a proxy racist black cop, helped him cover up the crime in his report. They still didn't charge that guy for accessory after the fact. He should have been charged, but the jury has now received the case of the murder trial of Michael Slager, 35 years old, and the lawyers made their closing arguments today. And so they started to deliberate the case. Was this today or yesterday? This was yesterday that it went to the jury. But there has still been no verdict that has been announced. So I imagine those deliberations are going on right now. But I haven't heard of anything in terms of them reaching a verdict. So, dude, let me go ahead and run this clip right quick about this case. And many people are watching across the United States.
A prosecutor stated in her closing arguments that a former police officer is guilty of murder and manslaughter for shooting Walter Scott. After a month-long trial, solicitor Scarlett Wilson told jurors there was no justification for killing Scott, despite resisting arrest. The high-profile trial of former police officer Michael Slager is related to an incident in April 2015. Slager pulled Scott over due to a broken taillight, but an altercation broke out between the two in which the officer felt provoked. But Wilson added that feeling provoked does not give someone the right to do whatever they want.
Okay, so yeah, that's one of the things that Slager has been saying. This standard line that we hear from these slave catchers when they get caught killing somebody, they always say, "I was in fear for my life. I'm in fear for my life." I'm like, if you're such a coward and these people are always in fear, why do you choose to go into that line of work? If you're such a coward, if you're so scared, if you're so in fear for your life, you would think that you would find a different occupation. So I don't fall for that crap, but that's what he told the jurors, talking about, oh, he was so scared, but he didn't look that scared after shooting Mr. Slager and murdering him. He did not look all that scared to me as he was planting the taser on the dead body. It even looked like he was joking around with the proxy racist black cop who helped him cover up the crime, who tried to help him cover it up by filing false report, backing up his slave catching buddy. So That is a worn out excuse that I'm quite frankly tired of hearing. And I don't think that people are buying that anymore. If you so scared, why do you choose to go into that line of work? Why? If you're such a coward. So we'll definitely be looking to see if the jury has reached a verdict. If it takes days, I'm serious. If it goes past today, I would say with each passing day, the likelihood that this killer, this murdering slave catcher down there in South Carolina will go free. Because you got the video. That's all you need. What other evidence do you need? It wasn't no tussle. Mr. Scott was trying to run away. He was trying to pull away from the officer. He was trying to stop him from tasing him, but he was running and he took off running, and Mr. Slager calmly got in his little shooting stance that they teach you at the range for using firearms, sidearms like that, handguns, got in his little shooting stance and took aim at the man's back and had a pretty nice grouping too. So if you scared and shaking, I don't think that you would have been such a great marksman in murdering that man. I mean, I think every single shot fired hit the man in the back. From what I could see, very tight grouping. So if you're so scared and you're such a coward, I just don't think you'd have been able to shoot so straight. So this is nothing but more of the same. As we just saw here in North Carolina with the black proxy racist slave catching cop in Charlotte not being charged for murdering Mr. Scott. I wouldn't necessarily call it a murder. I would call it manslaughter with the case here in North Carolina. I forget the man's last name who was killed. So they're marching and protesting right now in Charlotte. Been trying to catch some of the news, but it seems like there's a media blackout in Charlotte right now. But I have read a couple of articles that say, you know, the protests are still ongoing in relation to that. All right, so let me move on to some of these other stories. The first story that I want to bring you to your attention, we got CEO Obama, who recently said in a interview, what they're calling an exit interview with some magazine, well-known magazine, and he says that cannabis, that's pot for those that don't know the scientific name, he's saying that cannabis should be regulated just like tobacco or alcohol. Indeed, some of these ballot initiatives that we have seen over the years and reported on, I remember the one in Colorado years ago, not Colorado, but California, which recently just passed legalized cannabis recreationally. They already had a medicinal legalization, so we just saw that. But before that, they had a bill, a ballot initiative that was called Regulate Cannabis Like Wine. Regulate it, tax it, just like you do these other substances that are far more dangerous and causing people to die. Nobody's ever OD'd on cannabis in history. Nobody can show you that. But this is what President Obama had to say. It was in an interview with Rolling Stone. Actually, let me pull up that interview so I can get the comments from there. So he's giving what's called a final interview with the Rolling Stone as the CEO of USA Inc. And one of the things is pretty long, so I'm going to go back to the other article that pulls some of the quotes related to cannabis. This is what he had to say. He said it would be much smarter for the U.S. to treat cannabis like tobacco or booze. I am not somebody who believes that legalization is a panacea. But I do believe that treating this as a public health issue, the same way we do with cigarettes or alcohol, is the much smarter way to deal with it, Obama said in his interview with Rolling Stone, which was published on Tuesday. He notes that currently cannabis possession is effectively legal in some states, while in other states it still carries a potential prison sentence, and says enforcing a patchwork of laws is untenable. So that's what he has to say. He says that panacea means a solution or remedy for all difficulties or diseases. So I don't even think he was using the word properly in talking about cannabis legalization. He goes on to say, this is a debate that is now right, much in the same way that we ended up making progress on same-sex marriage, Obama said. There's something to this whole states being laboratories of democracy and an evolutionary approach. You now have about a fifth of the country where this is legal. The president, who says substance abuse should be discouraged, hinted he may be more vocal on cannabis regulation after he leaves office. I am now very much in lame duck status, and I will have the opportunity as a private citizen to describe where I think we need to go. I think you need to go to just disappear. We don't need to hear from you no more. We don't need you confusing people. We don't need your cowardice leadership on these issues. He's a coward, man. He's just simply a coward. All right. Why does he want to wait till he gets off of office to try to lead the discussion on as a private citizen? No, man, we just need you to get lost. That's what we need you to do. If you can't use the power of your office in the same way that you wrote executive orders and what have you to advance same-sex marriage, to advance in the military, to allow people who are gay to openly serve in the military, you put out executive orders. You put out a bunch of executive orders. Sign an executive order relating to the drafting of women. All kind of crazy stuff. So, but on cannabis, he doesn't want to take that same action. Why is that? So I ain't trying to hear from him after he get out of office, when he refuses to use the power of his office to put pressure on the DEA, the crooked, corrupt Drug Enforcement Administration, who was down there in Colombia participating in sex parties paid for by drug dealers in Colombia. No, I mean, come on. You can't have it removed from the scheduled list of drugs. And people been calling on him to do this a long time. And he said that if you want it done, do it through Congress. So I ain't trying to hear nothing from this man. He just need to shut up. He just need to shut up. Okay? He brags about all the weed he smoked back in the day. His daughter, his oldest daughter, Malia, was caught smoking pot in Colombia. They swept that under the rug. She didn't get arrested. She probably got scolded or something when she got home, but she wasn't subjected to the penalties that millions of people in this country are subjected to for using cannabis. So I ain't trying to hear nothing from CEO Obama. Just leave already. January 20th cannot come soon enough. Cannot come soon enough. He's done, you know, and I do give him credit on some things, like the using his office to allow the Hawaiian people to take their country back through a vote, which is now being blocked in the federal courts, so that they can reestablish the Kingdom of Hawaii, which was taken by force and forced into this unholy union. So he's done plenty of things. He's done plenty of things. Does not make sense that on this issue that he's acting like his hands are tied. So we don't need to hear from him after the fact. He can't do something about it now. The very least that he could do before he leaves office, then just shut up, man. Get lost. We don't want to hear from you no more. We don't want to hear you singing Al Green songs or going to black churches, talking to black people in your black preacher voice. We don't want to see no more of that. Just get lost already. Coward. this man's a coward. He doesn't want to do anything. I take that back. I don't know what it is. Maybe because he grew up in Hawaii. But that was a major move, allowing them to vote on taking their country back. But he grew up there, so he seems to have more affinity for that place than he does for, you know, everybody else, for those people, than he does everybody else. So that's what you heard from him. There's pretty much nothing new. He said these same things before, but I just can't wait till he leaves office. Just can't wait. He's done a lot to confuse people about justice in this country, to confuse people about racism in this country, and he just needs to go. I can't state that enough. He needs to go. The next story that I want to share with you concerns the terrorism that Joy Simmons, a 15-year-old freshman at the Clackamas Academy of Industrial Sciences in Oregon City, that is, of course, in the state of Oregon. She began finding notes in her binder after Donald J. Trump was selected to become the next CEO of USA Inc. And she says that she, about 2 weeks ago, that she was in class getting ready for a test and opened up her binder to get some supplies, and I saw a note and it had the N-word on it, and I immediately went to the office and called my mom, and she came in and talked to the principal. She found a second note which said, "Go back to Africa, nigger," a few days later. This time Simmons and her mother, a local activist, asked for help from Teresa Rayford, the lead organizer for the civil rights group Don't Shoot Portland. Rayford plans to ask federal authorities to investigate the incident, saying they are both part of a broader nationwide trend. Yeah, it is a trending up in white terrorism. Not that it has ever ceased to exist in this country, but it has been trending up as these white terrorists find it very difficult to contain themselves with the election of Donald Trump. He has them feeling empowered and that they can go out and act like it's the 1930s or what have you, where they could just do these things, just terrorize black people. Let's see, a recent survey conducted by the Southern Poverty Law Center found that 2,500 incidents, negative incidents of bigotry, racism, and harassment since the election, and frequently those reports involve students taunting classmates with variations of Trump's campaign rhetoric. Let's see. Students at nearby Oregon City High School, this is a different school, walked out of their classes October 27 to protest several incidents of racism at their school, and a spokesman for the school district promised a thorough investigation of Simmons' claims. Remember now, I reported, been a few months back, where you had this white cop who turned in his chief, the chief of police. I can't remember the name of the city. What did he turn them in for? Because they had arrested a black woman. And chief of police, his boss, was antagonizing this black woman, torturing this black woman who may have been inebriated or what have you, but torturing her, making monkey sounds and just acting like the freaking animals that they are. So this white cop said, "Look, this ain't right. This is very unprofessional. I did not sign up for this." And so he was like, "This is a violation of this woman's right. Now, we didn't arrest her. We're going to ticket her or charge her with whatever. But there's no call for this racist antagonism from the chief of police." So he reported him. And the chief was forced to resign. And so how did that community react to that white cop standing up for the civil rights and constitutional rights and the human rights of that black woman? Well, they started terrorizing him and his family. As his wife was driving on the road, somebody ran her off the road and ran her in a ditch. And so that was in Oregon. So these are the people we're dealing with here. These are the people that set free the white terrorist who took over the federal building on the Indian land in Oregon. They was calling it the Bundy Boys or whatever their names were and what have you. So this is the state that set them free, found them not guilty of breaking any kind of laws, but yet you see some black people, let them try to do that. Well, look at the peaceful protesters up there in North Dakota over the pipeline. Look at how they're being treated. Did they treat the Bundy Boys like that? No, they did not treat them like that. No, they did not. They did not drench these men and women with water in the freezing cold temperatures or any of those things. So, this is just the reason why I say we live behind enemy lines. If you're a non-white person living in America, you live behind enemy lines. You need to recognize this fact. And the entire country is a battlefield. This is a reflection on that school system of where this is taking place. This is a reflection on these white kids' parents. Obviously, these children are being programmed to grow up to be racist, to be terrorists. Just like their parents were brought up in the same way, and their grandparents were brought up in the same way, and so on and so forth. So this isn't surprising, but I just don't understand why black people would even send their children into such dangerous situations. She's the only black person at the school. And she's suffering terrorism from these fellow students. And the school system just doesn't seem to be taking it very serious. So, let me see. Think we have somebody that may want to chime in. Let me give out those telephone numbers. I am up against a break. The telephone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. But I do believe that we are joined by Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. Is that you we have on the line, Brother Kwabena?
That's me, your long-lost brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I am so confused right now. I'm just trying to catch up with things. But today is the day that Clear the Airways Project is supposed to be on the air with us. So I apologize for any confusion. So I'm glad that you called in. But do me a favor, Brother Rasuli, hold on. We're going to take a station identification break, and then we'll come back and we will get an update from you about the latest activities of Clear the Airways Project. All right. All right. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, part of the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. Stay tuned. We will be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Let's bring in Brother Rasuli on the line again. Brother Rasuli is with Clear the Airways Project, as he and those who work with him, in addition to other organizations, of doing exactly what the name implies, clearing the airwaves of this misogynistic murder music that is being targeted towards the black community through stations like iHeartRadio, which used to be called Clear Channel, and some of these other stations that are so-called in the urban market. So, Brother Kwabena, thanks for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. As you say, even though we're behind these enemy lines, we're doing pretty good.
So tell us, what's going on with Clear the Airways Project? Is there any upcoming events, anything that's taking place that we should be aware of?
Yeah, on December 5th, it's been a minute since we spoke, but December 5th, we have these pledge letters going to the CEO of McDonald's. McDonald's is one of the largest sponsors of these killer radio stations and the deaf music. They're one of the major financiers of this poison. And so we say, it's like we said it several times on your show, you know, if it's okay for 13 sponsors to get rid of Rush Limbaugh because he called Sandra Fluke a slut, we say it's definitely the same for our daughters who are called these names, bees and ages and sluts and all sorts of derogatory terms constantly. So we say, yeah, it's time to pull your commercials from these stations too. So on the fifth day of December, which is Monday, this kind of Monday, we're sending letters to the CEO of McDonald's. These are snail mail letters, so they can get them all around the same time, letting us know that we're not going to go to your stores or your restaurants anymore because of your support of this deaf music on our children. That's the main thing we got going on right now.
Let me make a quick point about that. Now, you may or may not have heard about this guy by the name of, what is his name, Steve Bannon or something like that, who Trump has appointed to a senior advisor position. He's also, I guess, the editor of Breitbart, a right-wing racist rag that I've been aware of for quite some time. But Mr. Bannon, his appointment and that spotlight being shown on Breitbart.com. You've had a number, I think you had the Kellogg's company that make those breakfast cereals and what have you, and some other companies have been pulling their ads or making sure that their ads do not be displayed on Breitbart's website. And why? Why? Because of the things that he said, whether they talking about misogynistic, white nationalist type stuff, racist type stuff. They said that's the reason that they're pulling the ads. Like you mentioned famously, Rush Limbaugh, advertisers were just dropping from him by the hundreds after he said what he said and calling that woman a slut, that white woman a slut. But yet again, we must point out, where's the same level of concern about the language used towards people through this music? The same misogyny that Michelle Obama was complaining about, Donald Trump was advancing. It's the same type of misogyny that's being advanced in quote unquote, well, I'm not even going to call it hip hop. I'm just going to call it what it is, corporate rap. And I just don't, I'm trying to find out, where's the disconnect, Brother Kwabena?
The disconnect goes into the fact, man, that we're just treated as second, third class citizenship citizens still in 2016 in this country. You just look at what happened, you know, in Charlotte yesterday. You know, just no respect for us, and we have to start respecting ourselves also and demanding that this respect be shared among us and for others to respect us, man. That's what it is. I mean, Bob Law points out that if you replace the N-word with any other derogatory term for any other people, Jew or Beck, or even Kaffir, even our brothers and sisters in South Africa, if you put that derogatory term in there, there would be outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Outrage.
Mm-hmm.
But you drop an N-bomb in there, even Boy Scout, even if you put dog in there, it would be outrage. You know, people rap about killing dogs, it would be outrage. But you can rap about killing black people all you want. Nah, and they become the number one, number two, and number three song in the country. Mm-hmm. They become numbers in the top 10 songs in the country just to, for our children, and it has to stop.
Yes,
so that's where we at with this, man. And you know, we mentioned that issue with the you know, you talk about Breitbart. Yeah, I'm familiar with them and people pulling their commercials and all the time. We always get, well, it's free speech. And no, the main ones who are violating, who are censoring and are not allowing free speech are these same radio stations. They don't play music that is quality, good music by artists like Common or Lupe Fiasco or D1 or J Live or some of these other conscious artists or even some of the R&B singers who make the beautiful music. When they don't play that for our children, they're the ones who are censoring. We're not right. the ones who are calling for censoring in a way that's not good for them, for mankind or for people. They are the ones who are doing it.
Right. And I think over the years that I've talked to you, I think most people, they're just asking that the FCC enforce its own rules. You know, if your rules say that on terrestrial radio, and a lot of people don't know what the difference is. Terrestrial radio goes out over an antenna, and it broadcasts out, and those airwaves, those radio waves are regulated by the federal government. They are referred to as the public airwaves, meaning that all the citizens on the airwaves, and you must get a license in order to broadcast to any community, and there are rules in place that you must adhere to in order to maintain and keep that license. But they violate those rules. What rules am I talking about, Brother Kwabena? What are the rules pertaining to the type of music you can play in at what hours
they
of the day?
These broadcast stations have to provide a safe harbor for our youth. It's documented in FCC policy. It states pretty much, we'll sum it up just like this. It's simple. Profane and indecent content is not protected between the hours of 6 and 10. That's most likely when our children will be listening. And obscene content is never protected. Never protected. But yet they violate these constantly. And we send them fines. And, you know, we have a link on our page. As a matter of fact, I'm putting it up again right now. It's a top link. The process is so simple. Just via your mobile phone, you go to it. It's nowprotest.com. You go there. You click on that link. That says write in. It will populate your email and send an email to the chairperson of the FCC. It is a simple process. And so, again, we put it up at the top of our page just now, Clear the Airways Project. And when you hear this crap, like what I heard yesterday on my way back from lunch into work, I turned to the iHeart station out here, and they were playing a number two or number three song in the country for African children. It's called Key to the Streets, where he raps three times in the song.
Key to the Streets.
On a leash, three times. Where they rap on this song that the chopper would decapitate him and blow his face off. This was on the radio yesterday. Well, actually, I heard today. It was back on again today. They played like 25 times a day. And this is a city where 12 Africans are being shot every day. Every day. So I switch over to the other station, which is Crawford, broadcast to 92.3. And they're playing a song that's about 4 years old from Two Slave Chains and Lil Stain called All My Ends Are Rich as F. Where he raps, I got the AK on my nightstand. I'm going to shoot it out with 5-0. I'm going to spray rusty ends like WD-40. And at the end of the song, he ad-libs, all you B's that don't want to give me an OP, then F you in your A on the radio.
Mm.
On the radio. And it's a two or three-year-old song that, you know, you typically wouldn't be getting played anyway.
The lyrics. I want people to Google the lyrics to Key to the Streets. What's the name of this artist? YFN Lucy?
Young Fly, and N stands for N-word. Calls himself that. YFN Lucci.
Lucci.
And there is a your hand with Migos, who's a violent vulgar rap group. And there's a remix they're playing now with Lil Stain, a Lil Wayne, y'all call him, and Two Slave Chains now, where Two Slave Chains talks about having the handle of his gun taped. And Lil Stain talks about, brings up Dr. King, and We Shall Overcome, and Dr. King in the same violent song. So
now this song says, man. I'm looking at this song, Key to the Streets, on genius.com. And it has a parental advisory notice, so meaning that they must have, you know, got the album cover or the CD cover art or whatever. But we know, you know, in the, like if you go wherever you go to purchase music, that if they had these type of lyrics, it now has these parental advisory warnings on them. So I'm saying it's as simple as if you got to put a parental advisory warning on the CD cover in the stores or whatnot, then it shouldn't be on the radio between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 o'clock p.m. according to the rules. Let me just read some of these lyrics. I got my money way before the deal. Well, let me, we do have parents who listen to this program. It might be some teenagers or some young children in the room. So let me go ahead and give that parental advisory out. May not want them to hear what I'm finna read from these lyrics. Again, you said this was on when?
This was on yesterday at about 1. It was on this morning about, what time did I shoot out? Probably about 11:30. It was on again. I mean, they play it all the time. Number three song in the country for our children.
So they play it all the time. Okay. So, I got money way before the deal. Put my bitches in new pair of heels. I might F yo hoe and pay her bills. Yeah, we was taught to get it how we live. I got yo hoe on a leash. Got a plug, he Vietnamese. We the niggas they wanna be, cause we got the key to the streets. We got the key to the streets. Hey, we got the key to the streets. We got the... Straight up garbage, man. You know what I'm saying? Who even calls this type of stuff artist? I mean, art. It's not art, man. It's just trash talk. And it does not belong on the public airways between the hours of 6 a.m. Actually, I don't think it should ever be on. I find that to be pretty profane language. Calling women...
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Talking about, this is like, okay, when I read I got your hoe on the leash, I'm thinking sexual trafficking, okay? I'm thinking young women who get kidnapped in this country all the time and trafficked as inhuman trafficking. This is disgusting, man. I'm not shocked, and that's what's so troubling. I'm not shocked to read these lyrics whatsoever and to know that these corporate radio stations ain't got a problem playing it. Wow.
No. And we have to, that's what I'm saying. We have to, anybody else, there wouldn't be no issue. But we have to fight and scrap and do whatever to a lot of times get the doors thrown in our face to get people like Mascarano at iHeartRadio to tell you, when you ask him, how can you possibly play all these songs that disrespect our women and call black people the N-word? But to get him to say to you, well, they call me black around here. You know, that's the kind of stuff you get back from them. But we're not talking to them anymore, Scotty. We don't have any interest in talking to iHeart or WGCI or Crawford anymore. Our interest now is to, because the only thing we have to say is get it off. It needs to come off the air. And we just need the people to understand how important this issue is. Congressman Danny Davis's grandson was shot and killed. He was among the victims of this fratricidal war going on in Chicago recently. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he came off talking about on the press conference, as he was mourning the death of his grandson, was guns. How's he able to get a hold of guns? Man, I had guns all around me when I was 15 years old growing up in L.A. You know, my people were in the movement, and, you know, my fathers were hunters, and he had guns from his father. Guns all around me. It's not the guns and this. I mean, there aren't too many guns out there to make them available, but it's the mindset. Right. And he finally said that the second time I heard him speak. They had a big press conference with a bunch of the leaders out there, and none of them said nothing about the violent, vulgar propaganda that's being force-fed to our youth, specifically via the killer radio stations. They didn't say anything about that. And we had a conversation with this brother, this congressman, about 2 months ago about the Clear the Airways project.
The same person?
Horrible music from these Chicago stations. I don't know. I just don't. Sometimes I just don't understand it, man.
I'm saying the congressman whose grandson was shot, y'all had a conversation with him about clearing the airwaves?
Yeah, about in September we had a conversation with him because we were supposed to hook up with Bobby Rush. We've already
so he
met
knows
Congressman Vasosky. Yeah.
So he knows the issue from the perspective of Clear the Airways project and all this murder music that is targeting African ears in these areas, but he wants to talk about, well, how did they get the gun? He won't talk gun control. You already in a city with some of the strictest gun control legislation ever, and while I think it should be investigated, which I don't think it ever will be, because I think the U.S. government is part of, has a gun walking scheme going on in Chicago, just like they had going on in Mexico. This is documented during the Bush administration and the Obama administration. So I think they are responsible. But see, that's an issue for Democrats. He's a Democrat, ain't it? Ain't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a Democrat.
So
he's a Democrat.
Yeah, we know
that Scotty. And you know, they talked about jobs too, which of course we know is important. But we, like Bob Law talks about, we've been in poverty situations before. We've been struggling for most of our time here in Babylon. African people have been struggling, but we have not been killing each other at the rates that we're doing it, man, today. I mean, there was a big spike in the late 80s, early 90s, but today it's just as bad, man. We're supposed to evolve, not just stay in the dumps like we're doing now, man. It's just, you know, and people say, well, they're making this music to reflect where they are. And again, another brother Bob points out too, said when people are in prison and they're doing art, they don't do art based on what's going on in these prisons. They reach out to the future, or what they want life to be like. You know, that's what your art becomes, not this wallowing in this madness that we're in right now. So, bro, but the thing is too, Scotty, there are so many artists. Man, I've been getting a lot of new music lately for our show. We do called a weekly wrap-up. It's a conscious hip-hop show. I mean, there's just so much conscious music out there, bro. So much. And we love these brothers and sisters who continue to make that, knowing that they will not be played on these commercial radio stations right now,
right,
because all they want is a mumbling, ignorant, disrespectful, debasing music, violent, vulgar music, because we know they got a plan. And even though most of us people understand that they have a plan, we're saying, well, let's do something. Let's put a monkey wrench in that plan. You know, let's take this equation of this ratchet, ignorant music out of their plan of fratricide and genocide on us. Let's take that out of it. That's what we're saying to do. Now, we got 1 month left. Our goal at the beginning of the year, and you were with us, was that we were not going to go through 2016, the end of the year, with this ratchet music on these radio stations, not just in Chicago, but throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 30 days left to make this happen, and it's reachable. It's something that we can do. My only issue is that I think it's still a dumb goal, because we shouldn't wait 30 days. That stuff shouldn't be on the air tomorrow.
Right, right. I think it is a wise tactic to start targeting their advertisers, because obviously the radio stations, as long as people been getting at them on this issue, they just have moved not one bit. I mean, some might say it's gotten worse. The programming has gotten worse. So I think it is right to start connecting these businesses that advertise on killer radio and start putting their logos next to these lyrics and images of these useful tools of racism. And I'm referring to the Little Waynes and the others out there who are being used as tools of destruction for their own community.
I don't know if you saw how, I don't know if we've talked since he was on, I think it was Nightline, Lil Stain speaking to him, and he just talked stupid about Black Lives Matter and all
saying
this
he never experienced racism, so it don't exist. He doesn't have a problem because white people buy his music. Again, he's an ignorant victim, so he...
But you know what started him off with that? It was that, you know, what we understand was the sister who was doing the questioning asked him, well, what about your daughter? What if somebody called your daughter the same thing you'd be calling these people on your music? He claims he got mad. He offered an apology later, but he got mad at that. And so that's the same question we ask the people when we ask individual brothers, how would you feel if someone called your mother, your daughter, your wife, your girlfriend, a B or H?
Mm-hmm.
How would you react to that? And most of them get mad. Say they wouldn't have it. It would be some violence. So that's when we point out, it's just not good for us as individuals. It's not good for mass media to be playing at disrespecting our women all the time. It's not good for all of us. So, man, it's a lot of work to do, bro. And when you see these, how they mainstream this ignorance, man, like to put Snoop Dogg up here on a what was that, a sports show yesterday, dogging out Colin Kaepernick, talking about he need to make a choice, either be a revolutionary or athlete. You know, like you have to make that choice. And then they're going to dog out his statements about Fidel Castro. Him and Shannon Sharp ignorant. They should have said nothing about that, because they don't know. And they were saying a lot of ignorant comments about the righteous comments that Kaepernick said about Fidel Castro. So, and they mainstream is mad.
Well, they just, again, tools of the racist system. They getting paid butter biscuits and lots of butter biscuit with extra butter to, you know, do what they do. So it's not surprising. But again, man, you know, we have the Black Talk Media Project is fully behind the efforts of Clear the Airways Project and the other groups, parallel groups that's working on this same issue. And we're just going to have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and start putting these people like Michelle Obama and these other, whenever they want to talk about Donald Trump or white men being misogynistic in their language or whatnot, well, then Michelle Obama, you from Chicago, why aren't you sticking up for the little black girls in Chicago who was being called bitches and hoes on the radio there?
Exactly. And, or even the killing. I mean, Barack Obama and all these other ones, man. I mean, dude, the least you can do is come to Chicago, have a town hall meeting. Do something in Chicago. Everybody around the country, when I talk to my people around the country, they're like, man, y'all got a special case out there. You know, Chicago, Gary, or y'all going crazy. I said, yeah, we know, man. And it's a lot of confusion, man.
We got
another forum coming up on Saturday, man, out here in Gary. We're going to deal with this issue. And again, this is our last month, so we're putting in a lot of work to make this happen. The National Black Leadership Alliance, groups out of St. Louis, out of Detroit, out of New York, out of Philly, out of Orlando, out of Atlanta, all working with us to make this happen.
And where will this be going down? And where can they get more information about it?
We'll be putting it up on the page shortly, Clear the Airways Project page. It's going to be at the W.B. Du Bois, at the Kennedy Branch Library in Gary, Indiana, this Saturday at noon.
This Saturday at noon. So the page is on Facebook. That's Clear the Airways Project. Just type that in the Facebook search engine, that'll pull up the page. Are you all on Twitter?
We one thing we struggle with is our social media. We got to do a lot better with that. But we will be the next few days, though.
Okay, well, reach out to me, man. I got a great tool I could suggest to you for your social media operations and what have you. Well, again, did you have any final comments for the listeners as we wrap up this segment? And thank you for calling in and joining us and informing us about these upcoming events.
Got it. We appreciate you, man. Happy belated birthday, brother. We appreciate you, what you do.
Thank you.
Black Talk Radio, man. We were at the Black Power Awards. We did a forum over in Atlanta a little over two weeks ago. And even they were nominating internet radio, I think Brother Keedy got it. I was like, shoot, this Scotty should have been nominated for this too. But I think they'll do it again. So they were pretty good awards. I kind of, you know, I think about what my uncle said about, you know, being a revolutionary, and we don't sign no autographs. We ain't in it for that.
Right.
I understand what he means by that wholeheartedly, but at the same time, I thought this award thing was pretty righteous. So we'll see what if it happens again. But no, man, we just need the people to work with us, man. Work with us on this letter that we're sending out to the chair of McDonald's. Also, this letter that we put on Now Protest page, nowprotest.com, which goes to the chair of the FCC. Work with Rage Against the Ratchet. Work with CMOTAP. Work with What Our Rhymes. Work with Do Better Now. But we got to get this poisonous, toxic propaganda off these killer radio stations, because they're poisoning the mind of our children with this death music. So we say until we win, and even then, and one love, man, and we'll be able to. I'm going to shout out my brother Tim McFred too, because there's December 4th is the anniversary, 48th anniversary, I believe, 47th anniversary of when Tim McFred Hampton and Defense Captain Mark Clark were assassinated. So we're always out there in Chicago with our brother, and also with Mama Akua and Jerry on the fourth day of December every year. So we'll be out there with them too, man. One love to them, and one love to you too, man.
All right, Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. You can find that page on Facebook and get access to the information that we discussed with him today. One love to you, bro, and you stay safe behind these enemy lines.
All right, we'll be in touch. Peace.
Peace. All right, again, Clear the Airways Project putting in much, much, much needed work. Again, Malcolm X it's the watching a video of him talking about the power of the media is what motivated me to create the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit. And we'll be 8 years old soon. And I understand the power of media. And a lot of other people, they understand it too. But they don't want to do anything to stop it. So when I hear these politicians talking about gun control and this and that, look, you don't understand that these children, these young people, and even grown adults are being programmed to engage in this type of behavior. There have been many studies done that show the correlation between media and behavior. That's why they call it programming. You're being programmed with something. Whether it's information, whether it is you're calling it entertainment, but you're being programmed with destructive behaviors. And it's just time out for that. It's not that they're asking for anything. They're not asking for any kind of laws to be passed. No, just enforce the laws that you already got on the books. Why can't you do that? Why can't they do that? Because they know exactly what they're doing. They know what they're doing. So that is much needed work. Check out Clear the Airways Project. Listen, I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some message music, and then when we'll come back, I want to give you an update on these white terrorists who are still on the loose. They may be in California. They may have fled the state, gone underground. I wouldn't doubt it if they didn't fled to Oregon, up in the woods somewhere, hiding out and being protected by them racists in that state. So we'll come back with an update on the murder of William Sims and the arrest and these two people who are still being sought. Also, as reports of racist terrorism of non-white people continue to escalate, so is black gun ownership. And I think that is logical behavior in response to all this terrorism. We still got the story. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is calling for the Department of Justice to promptly and thoroughly investigate reports of brutality and abuse of police tactics employed against the peaceful protesters who are opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota, trying to protect the water source, not just for themselves, but for other people. Again, I'm thinking about this person on YouTube who made a comment on one of the videos we posted from one of the protesters explaining how they were using chemical weapons. And this person said, why should we care? That's bad, but why should we care? Indians don't care about black people. I'm like, man, don't even come at me with that kind of ignorance. We're talking about an issue. We're talking about water. Don't black people drink water? Huh? Don't they? I think they do. I think they bathe in water. I think they drink water. I think they cook with water. We see what happened in Flint, right? So I just get so sick of people being ignorant, man. So we'll talk about some of those stories when we come back on the other side. Going to take a message music break. Want to play Wrath of the Sea, Ifu. A track that was produced about a year or so ago of some conscious black rappers out of the Atlanta area. I love that song. So we'll play that, and then we'll come back again. If you have any questions or comments, we will open up the phone lines again on the other side of the break. Our telephone number is 866-510-9025. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
It may appear a confusing blur of activity, each ant doing its own thing, but it can't be. Somehow the ants coordinate their actions so that large insects are overwhelmed, killed, and carried back to the base.
taxpayers is dying and my people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting.
Watch what comes out your mouth.
People are suffering. It's elementary, they want us all gone eventually. Peers is dying, people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting. Peers is dying, and my people are suffering. Cause the money's still low, they want us all gone eventually.
I swear to God, living in this economy is like a robbery. The government taxing me when they owe me for my property. You niggas act like you happy to live in poverty. When I feel like a king, they gotta make these fools acknowledge me. I'm royalty and loyal to the feeling of it. The contrast make it look thuggish. We talk, walk, and look rugged. Naturally, nothing sad to see. We all a part of this tragedy. I'm mad at you, so why you mad at me?
We headed for the times of the nine. Watch out, six. Sun cycle on the rise, moon cycle out the mix. Living on this planet of the snakes and the crucifix. Pardon self as I unk my way through. Marching with my A boom boom, making my debut. Like great balls of fire, nothing could save you. In these replenishing times, I honor my dead, making my ancestors proud when it's off with your head.
Does my pencil possess potential to change mentals? Yes. Short with your pen in this pack of the essential less. What is essential to keep it as sharp as a ginsel? Yes. What is essential to keep it like a temple? Blast, alter the temple, keeping the beat simple and fresh. While they whimper and rest, I'm intuition like the simplest guess. Into tradition, I'm on a mission until I transition to give the up and coming a better existence with
I've seen a
breath.
Reggae spawn, reaching for a corner too. The older we get, it switches up the point of view. And they anointed you leader of the free world. Desolate minds refined to the V-girl. The most benevolent is evident who I be. Graffiti on the wall, the crew, Drew Ali. Zoo to our key, shifting on the paradigm. Raise the vibration, then go prepare the mind.
Define magnificent red gem. Dig deep, the omnipotent. All singing, I just peep the game plan. I pray for niggas, amen. Fat Sharpie, spray can, I'm made man. The suede vans, no street skating, I'm beat taking. For Pete's sake, he's a beast quaking, the scene shaking. No mistaking, the ants conquer the elephants. FTP, RBG, the rest development.
What's the ant's secret that makes them the most efficient predators on Earth? Consuming more meat than lions, tigers, and wolves combined.
I'm way medicated, puff lying, lay sedated, and stay dedicated to culture that created the essence of the lessons now delivered in my presence. Kalonji called upon me, so now I pose the question, how is it that the blacks came in whips and chains, having nothing else to lose and everything to gain? Now niggas entertained for some whips and chains, a white dame and some fame.
Is that shit not strange?
It's kinda hard holding down your dreams when you blacking in America with institutions set to bury you 6 feet underneath dirt, a debt deep, disciples psychological when making those ends meet and needs be. A hand feeds the other teases. Gather thoughts, grab the Gatling for good reason. In between success, devil's greed, a pine box of mind jars and lose.
And why I come off and camouflage, can't take cloth. Eating lentils and vegetable broth, but I ain't never been soft. Leading the loss and forsaken by any cost. Bones aching, working hard, trying to bring home the turkey bacon. Breaking laws of gravity, fuck with the family and watch me savagely. Crush craniums and chest cavities to pray for the casualties. My anatomy is naturally, casually composed. This is self-construction for the soul.
I'm black dynamite, I'll blast you with my nitros. For the dope piece, for the gold piece, in a booth with five disciples. We channeling boot mind, the revolution sparker. With eight bars, cigar smoking, some dark room on the altar. Watch the daughter work a mojo, walk the stage without a hype man. Electric verses turn the great crowd into light rain. Flood psyches with the ill beats, the brain food that's got hot. Fly wisdom, cold saucy, the enlightener, that's Cy-Rock.
2012 and times are different yet the same. Nowadays the number of prisoners behind the cage outnumber amounts of those enslaved during the trades. And shame we killing ourselves over what set you blame. Getting shot instead of hang. Nothing changed for the better except the cheddar of corporate profit to gain. The more money in pocket, the more people in chains. Unite niggas who bang, destroy their main aim.
It's all connected, form a web like a Nazi. It's the people, Siafu is the army. Start a top contender, foil plots a new agenda. They even rerun the track, sucker and meat for dinner. All that garbage I'm pinning, this right here's the ending. Words the venom, getting them wrapped in Egyptian linen. Coming for head, this rapper, Kali will shake the rafters. Only thing standing after, walking natural disaster, rapture.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. And this next story that I want to share with you, it just really highlights that fact that we do, in fact, live behind enemy lines. So this story comes to you from the East Bay Times. You can find them at eastbaytimes.com. It was published yesterday. It is referencing the killing, the murder, the robbery of William Sims, who was a talented musician who performed often with the Oaktown Jazz Workshops at Richmond City's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebrations over the years. I had read that he had been working with this jazz workshop since he was 13 years old, going all the way up to 18. So let me just share some of this article. As communities around the Bay Area mourn the killing of young talented musician William Sims, the Piedmont Appreciating Diversity Committee that advocates for tolerance and respect for all people expressed shock and dismay of a possible hate crime against Sims. Well, it's not a possibility that this was a hate crime. It is a fact that it was a hate crime, as has been evident by the charges filed against the one they did catch. Now, here's something that I noticed. Again, words are very important. Just think about this word tolerance for a minute, and respect. We know what respect means. Respect just means, you know, treating people the way that you would want to be treated. But tolerance, I got an issue with advocating for tolerance. How about advocating for an end of racism instead of telling racists to be tolerant of other people? How about telling racists to stop practicing racism? Or let's eliminate the racists. Let's do that. Let's not preach tolerance. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not tolerant at all of racists. I'm very intolerant when it comes to racist people. I'm very intolerant when it comes to slavery in this country. So I just don't think that when we're talking about racism, when we're talking about terrorism, when we're talking about these people's belief in white superiority and what have you, we don't need to be preaching no tolerance. Okay, we need to be preaching an end to this system, not tolerance. Piedmont New Will, through his performances with the Old Town Jazz Workshops, we are deeply saddened by this tragic event and also alarmed to see hate crimes happening. See, again, when I hear people like this say things like that, alarmed. What? Why are you alarmed to see? Have you not been paying attention to the history of this country? It's not like hate crimes have ever stopped. It's not like there's been, you know, a time or a period in the United States where white people weren't terrorizing non-white people or committing crimes of hate against them. So that's what the former co-president and executive board member, her name is Margaret Hong, said. She says, we don't want to say we will mourn Will's murder and will continue to work to promote and practice inclusiveness within Piedmont and surrounding communities. See, again, inclusiveness. Why? I mean, Jesus. Stop playing games with these people. These are criminals, these are terrorists, and they should be dealt with in the manner that you deal with terrorists. They close out by saying, we encourage anyone with information on the case to work with police so that justice will be served. Our prayers and positive energy go out to his family and his many friends. So, again, Mr. Sims was at this bar, appears he was at this bar by himself when he was jumped on by these white thug terrorists. Nobody tried to stop it. Nobody tried to help. Nobody called the police until it was too late. And Mr. Sims was laying in the street dead after they done pulled him out the bar and robbed him, beat him, and then shot him and left him for dead. Two of these terrorists are still on the loose. The only one they have arrested is 31-year-old Daniel Porter Kelly of Richmond, also of Richmond, same city that Mr. Sims was a resident of. So the Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office has charged Porter Kelly with murder with a hate crime enhancement. The two other suspects are still on the loose. They are armed and dangerous. There is 32-year-old Ray Simmons of Hercules and 31-year-old Daniel Ortega from Richmond or Novato, California. Goes on to get more information about Mr. Sims and his work in the community through the different music programs and what have you. There is a GoFundMe. You can just, I guess, Google GoFundMe and William Sims Jr. William Sims is spelled, well, you know how to spell William, but Sims is S-I-M-M-S is how they spelled it on the GoFundMe, so I think that's a misspelling. They have raised $16,515 as of Tuesday for his funeral and other expenses. Somebody need to offer a reward. How about raising some money for a reward for these terrorists? Because it seems like the terrorist community that's harboring these terrorists are not too keen on giving these terrorists up. So maybe we need to entice them with some money. I'm not aware of any kind of reward being offered for tips leading to arrest of these two terrorists. Don't see that happening, but that's something that people can do on their own. We need the white community to turn these terrorists in now. Y'all need to stop harboring terrorists in y'all communities now. So these two men are still on the loose, and I would recommend, especially if you live in California or the surrounding states, that you look these men up so you can get a look at their mug shots, because they have criminal histories. Look at their mug shots, and I would say shoot them on sight. They've already murdered one man. They are racist. They're being described as armed and dangerous, and I don't want you to become a victim. So arm yourself. Arm yourself. And if you see these two men, shoot first and ask questions later is what I would advise you. In a related story, as all of this increase in reports, and notice I say reports, I don't know if racist terrorists have ever subsided in this country, but we are getting more reports of racist terrorism of non-white people by white people, and it continues to escalate in the wake of Donald Trump's election. And this has led to an increase in black gun ownership, something I have talked about for quite some long time on this program, something I've been recommending over the past few weeks. If you want to buy me a Christmas present, well, I need a crossbow. I don't need no guns. I need a crossbow. You can get me a crossbow for Christmas. But yeah, that would make a good gift for Christmas for those who participate in gifts. And I do know in Kwanzaa, well, they usually make their gifts. Well, maybe you can order a gun kit and put it together, and that would qualify as making the gun. Okay. And but I think that is a logical response to all of this terrorism that we are seeing. So this is from NBCnews.com. says that after Donald Trump's win, Yolanda Scott is upgrading the crowbar she keeps in her purse to a small caliber pistol. I would say that's a good move, Miss Scott. Scott, an African American, is one of many minorities who have been flocking to gun stores to protect themselves, afraid Trump's victory will incite more hate crimes. Minorities feel that racists now feel like they can attack just because the president is doing it. Earl Curtis, the African-American owner of Blue Ridge Arsenal in Chantilly, Virginia, told NBC News. Gun store owners told NBC News that since November the 8th, they're seeing up to four times as many black and minority customers, and black gun groups are reporting double the number of attendees at their meetings since the election. While more gun owners are non-Hispanic whites than blacks, 41% versus 19% in a 2014 Pew Research Center survey, blacks' views on gun ownership have shifted in the past few years. Well, I hope Black Talk Radio Network has played a role in black views shifting on gun ownership and not falling for the Democratic rhetoric about gun control and all of that. And it's good to see that. Let's go ahead and see if we can run this audio clip of black gun owners concerned over not only racist terrorism, but these police, these slave catchers like Michael Slager. Again, the jury's still out, still deliberating in that slave catcher's case. Let's see. Trying to get this clip to play. Give me just a second. And it will be starting up here in just about 5 seconds. So the title of this clip from NBC is Black Gun Owners Concerned Over Police Violence.
Some gun rights advocates are raising concerns over the shooting of an African-American man outside of Minneapolis on Wednesday. Philando Castillo was killed by a police officer at a traffic stop, and he reportedly told the officer that he was armed and had a permit for the firearm. Castillo's death sparked outrage and protest in a week of racially charged violence across America, and some black gun owners feel the NRA should have reacted immediately to the shooting. Well, the NRA, in a statement on its Facebook page, said that it would not comment on the Castillo shooting until the investigation is complete. I want to bring in Philip Smith, the founder and president of the National African American Gun Association. Philip, I appreciate your being with me on this Sunday morning. First, your thoughts on this. Do you think that police officers see gun owners who are black differently than they see white gun owners? And is that different at all before what happened in Dallas and what happened after last week?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I think, for the most part, there has been a difference from the perceptions of the police officers when looking at an African-American gun holder or someone who has a gun who's African-American. Hopefully that will change in the future based on how things have played out in Dallas and other places in the U.S., Minnesota and Louisiana. But there is a difference.
And, sir, when you say hopefully that will change in the future, what is your hope? What needs to happen for that change to take place?
You know, if you'd asked me this question right after the Dallas shootings, I would have given you a very grim and very sorrowful perspective. But I see some glimmer of hope. I think two things are taking place nationally in terms of the dialogue that African-Americans and police officers, those two communities, are having discussions. It's a very painful discussion, but I do see some conversations taking place that are honest and dialogue, and hopefully something will come of that that's going to give some hope and some better outlook for the future for both communities. On one hand, you have the police officers that are viewed in a certain way by the African American community, and on the other hand, you have the African American community that's viewed in a certain way by the police officers. And both of those two camps need to get together, because if they don't, they're going to rip the nation in half. What I think needs to take place, and this is my own, perspective, is that police officers need to take a look at their house and in-house and say, hey, you know what, we have 99% of our folks doing a great job. Our guys and gals go out there and protect and serve honorably. But there is that small percentage, that 0.1, that 5.1% that's out there that are racist in nature. They have very negative outlook on African-American men and women for whatever reason, and they need to be rooted out. On the other hand, you have the African-American community, which needs to take a look in the mirror and say, you know, we have to stop making sweeping conversations or stereotypes of police officers.
Well, I'm going to stop it right there. I don't need to hear no politically correct language. They are slave catchers. It's that plain and simple. The 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution made slavery legal as punishment for crime. Then we saw black codes, where all of these laws are passed to criminalize people activity and put them into slavery again. And they are slave catchers. Ain't no exaggeration in that. That's not a stereotype. We live in a country with the world's largest prison population, the world's largest slave labor force, that many of these Fortune 500 companies are taking advantage of. So that's not a stereotype. That's what they do. I don't think we should not take serious the reports that we have gotten from government agencies, like the Ferguson report, like the Baltimore report, like the Los Angeles report, like the Detroit report. I mean, report after report after report showing that these individuals or these people at these police departments are just engaged in violating the human rights of the communities that they are deployed to. Notice I said deployed to, because they don't serve us. Let's get that straight. The Supreme Court already ruled in a case that the police job is not to protect and serve. The Supreme Court, the highest court of the land, that's why it's called Supreme, said that their job is to enforce law. Well, what law are they enforcing? The supreme law of the land that said we can put people into slavery as punishment for crime. And they, we can just make up all kind of crimes like cannabis, make cannabis prohibition law, and then start throwing people in prison for using cannabis, something that people have been doing for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So I don't like politically correct language. Slave catcher is a slave catcher. Now, am I saying that all slave catchers are out there brutalizing the community or violating the rights of everyone they come across? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying. But their job is to catch slaves, is it not? That's what their job is. They enforce these anti-freedom, anti-liberty laws. And even though, and we know they have quotas to arrest people to keep the prison plantation full, because slavery remains one of the main economic pillars of this society. So I'm sorry, but I can't stomach that kind of politically correct language. In 2014, 54% of blacks surveyed by Pew said gun ownership does more to protect people from crime than put people's safety at risk, versus 29% who said that in 2012, almost double. While white attitudes also shifted more positively towards gun ownership during that time, but not by as much as up to 62% from 54%. Racial tension was already at a high during the election, with a spate of video shootings and deaths of black men by police officers, followed by ardent protests and the fatal targeting of white officers. So it goes on to talk about Philando Castile. That officer has been charged, or charges have been recommended in that case of manslaughter. In that case, the NRA still hasn't come out and said anything. And of course, we know how they operate on that racist code and what have you. And they won't, you know, they're not so quick to come out and defend black gun owners. So, but it is good news, I would say. I would say that more black people are embracing their Second Amendment rights and not leaving it up to the very people that's killing us to come in and protect us from these terrorists. Arm yourself, defend yourself, defend your property, defend your family. That's the American way. That's what we've been told. So, do what needs to be done. Let me see if there is another story concerning, I'm up against a break. So, let me go ahead and take a break. Again, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions or comment, you can give us a call at 866 510 9025. Hit **. Once you dial in, that'll let me know that you have a question or comment, and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. I am going to take a quick station identification break and come back and share this story about the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. You finally got a representative of the U.S. government finally commenting on what's going on there with the brutality of law enforcement towards those peaceful protesters who are just trying to protect our water source. I mean, water is life. Without water, there is no life.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. This next story comes to you from the freethoughtproject.com. Just a shout out to them, as I think they do great work in highlighting the tactics and the terrorism of slave catchers in this country. Great job that they do. Check them out at thefreethoughtproject.com. They are reporting on this story. It is related to police terrorism. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is calling for the DOJ to promptly and thoroughly investigate reports of brutal and abusive police tactics employed against peaceful water protectors opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. In a letter to Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Deputy Attorney General Vinita Gupta, Booker demanded an end to silence from the federal government in the matter after myriad of reports of injuries, some heinous and possible abuse by jailers of those arrested. He wrote, "I write to urge your immediate attention to the ongoing situation at the Dakota Access Pipeline near the Standing Rock Sioux Tribes Reservation in North Dakota, which has produced conflicting reports by law enforcement protesters in the media regarding the appropriate use of police tactics," the senator wrote. He is the first federal politician to solicit tangible action from President Obama's administration, which has thus far remained astonishingly tight-lipped despite alarming video footage from several brutal crackdowns on unarmed water protectors by a 9-state coalition of law enforcement. So again, look, they then pulled in cops from 9 different states to go up against these protesters. But I am not hearing such reports of all these different agencies involved in a manhunt of these 2 white terrorists on the loose in California after they have murdered an American citizen by the name of William Sims. Just not seeing it. "I am deeply troubled by this tense situation," Booker wrote, "and particularly by reports indicating that law enforcement may be responding to peaceful protesters near Standing Rock with overly aggressive tactics. According to press reports, local police and private security agencies have disproportionate measures to suppress protesters, including firing beanbag rounds, tear gas, compression grenades, and using mace." Booker also noted the indiscriminate deployment of vicious dogs against a peaceful gathering in which 6 people, including a child, suffer bites, as well as the use of water cannons and freezing temperatures against a crowd of 400 on November the 20th. Quick note, has PETA ever spoken out against the use of these dogs to body slave catchers? and for these dangerous jobs and what have you. I've just never heard PETA express any kind of concern at all for these animals that's being trained to be, you know, vicious and to attack, you know, peaceful people and whatnot. You'd think PETA would have a problem with dogs being used in such a manner, but they don't. They don't. So I'm deeply troubled too. But I am not surprised that the Obama administration has been tight-lipped. CEO Obama himself has been particularly cowardly during his term and speaking out on issues like this. He's one of those people who like to use the word perceive, that the black community perceives all of this injustice and violence and brutality and racism. And, oh, we just perceive it like it's all in our mind. And you know, never mind the reports that your own administration, the Department of Justice, has put out on these slave catchers. I just really don't have no love for this man. None whatsoever. None. None. He's a coward, and he just needs to go. He just needs to go. So, yeah, I'm not surprised he hasn't said anything about it. I mean, what is he going to say? This is a man who walks around, according to a 2020 news report I saw, walks around with a kill list in his pocket about who he going to kill extrajudicially with a drone. And we know those drones have killed a lot of civilians. Those drone attacks have killed a lot of civilians as well. So why do you think he care about violence of these slave catchers, these private mercenaries being used against these peaceful water protectors? We're talking about a very violent man. Don't be fooled because they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize. Don't be fooled by that. That's just to confuse you. This man is a very violent man. Look at what he did to Libya. So this man ain't concerned about no violence being used against anybody. I don't even know why people even act like he might be concerned, because he's not. He's not. So shout out to the water protectors out there protecting that water for everybody. Again, water is life. Without clean water, well, we see what happened in Flint, Michigan, and other Chicago as well. That's not been highly publicized, about the polluted water found in some of the school buildings and what have you, contaminated water. Lastly, it's only got like a few more minutes. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time will be Tando Radio Show. Make sure you keep it locked for that. I'm not sure about Blacks in Business Radio, as I have not received any communications about that program tonight. But Tando Radio Show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I talked about the other day when I was discussing the Ohio State University attacks, where you had one of the students by the name of Abdul Razak Ali Artan, a Somalian immigrant who ran up on the curve and ran over a bunch of students, then jumped out with a butcher knife and started stabbing them before he was shot dead by a cop. So some of the reports I was reading, the law enforcement was trying to link him without any kind of proof whatsoever, nothing that they shared with the public, to say that he was a part of ISIS, or he had pledged allegiance to ISIS, or this is ISIS connected. I'm so tired of hearing about ISIS. Just call them CIA or Mossad or MI6. That's who they're working for. Come on. That's why Israel is attacking Syrian troops right now who are fighting ISIS, because they know that's Mossad. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that. So I talked about how I expect them to cover up his real motivations. And I suspected that his motivations might be the rhetoric of Donald Trump against Muslims, his anti-Islamic rhetoric, and the people he's been appointing around him, and the things they have said and done to Muslim communities around the country. And also the reports like we just I just shared with you about the murder of William Sims, a black man, by these middle-aged, I ain't gonna call them middle-aged, they're in their 30s, but these racist white terrorists that's still on the loose. So maybe he's read some of that and you know, he just snapped. He snapped and he just lost it. I said I was not going to share any articles from Washington Post because of their engaging in propaganda activities to demonize alternative news outlets on the behalf of Hillary Clinton, and they've been feeding people a whole bunch of fake news. So anyway, this is the only article I could find where it was quoting this woman, this student who interviewed him. What is her name? It does not say her name. I guess this is her article. Kevin Stan Kiewicz, something like that. Stan Kiewicz. Abdulrazak Ali Artan was sitting alone at a red table outside Mendenhall Lab when I met him. It was a little before 6 p.m. on August the 23rd, the first day of class for the semester at Ohio State, and he was the first person I came across as I headed to campus that evening. That he was alone was primarily why I approached. I was on assignment for The Lantern, looking for students for a new feature in a student newspaper called Humans of Ohio State. Several paragraphs and a photo profiling members of the campus community, introducing readers to different perspectives. I wanted to find someone who had a moment to talk that day. Artan would be the first such profile. I found a thoughtful, engaged guy, a Muslim immigrant who wanted to spread understanding and awareness while expressing muted fears that U.S. society was becoming insular and fostering unfair stereotypes of his people. See, he's not from here, so that's why he was using words like becoming, you know, or fostering, like all of this just happening. It's new to him. Okay, it's not new to people who's been living under this oppression for hundreds of years. She went on to write, he was measured and intellectual, not angry or violent. When I introduced myself, Artan initially seemed surprised. It was his actual first day of classes at Ohio State, as he had just transferred to one of the largest college campuses in the country from a community college nearby. But he opened up quickly. He was soft-spoken, in a slightly accented voice, and friendly. Let me see. Let me jump down a little bit. He told me in great detail about the biggest struggle of his first day on campus, finding a place to pray. That became the central element of the feature in The Lantern, something that felt both important and relevant, enlightening and humanizing, the whole point of our new feature. This place is huge and I don't even know where to pray, he told her. I wanted to pray in the open, but I was scared with everything going on in the media. His tenor remained the same, but it was clear those examples saddened Artan and likely contributed to his fear to pray openly. Because they don't practice the First Amendment. See, he the wrong skin color and the wrong religion to think that these white terrorists is going to respect his freedom of religion. We've seen that in the news articles as well. People freaking out because Muslim cab drivers have a little space where they go and do whatever it is they do to prepare for prayer. I mean, just it's crazy. What it might mean for those like him who practice Islam openly, he was concerned. He said he spoke of his fears of then-candidate Donald Trump's rhetoric towards Muslims, what it might mean for immigrants and refugees, what it might mean for those like him who practice Islam openly, how ignorance about Islam propels bigotry and hatred. So he said that it's so important to travel and see different parts of the world, as he had, that if everyone could see the world with their own eyes, they'll be so much more informed and have less prejudice towards people who are different than they are. So it goes on and on to talk about this and how she was shocked to find out that he was the one who ran into these students with his car, ran them over, and then started stabbing them and what have you. And also further down in this article, it's talking about they still trying to figure out what his motive was. Well, there you go right there. You just uncovered the motive right there. He just freaked out, man, because of Donald Trump and seeing all these racist terrorist attacks escalating against people who are non-white. So there's your motive right there. That's your motive of why he did what he did. So I don't see what the big mystery is. I don't see why law enforcement is taking so long to make this determination. See, that's because they don't want to admit that this was a reaction to racist terrorism. What he did was no different than when President Obama or President Bush before him sent drones to go target somebody and kill them without giving them a trial, without proving beyond a reasonable doubt in the court of law that these people are guilty of anything. He's even killed, President Obama has had American citizens killed in this drone program, who were killed simply because the father was killed simply because he expressed himself in the war that he felt the West was waging against Islam, and telling people to fight against it, to fight the invaders and all of this and that. And they killed him for it. Didn't charge him with a crime because he committed no crime. They just killed him when he left and traveled to his homeland of Yemen. Then a week later, they killed his 16-year-old son, also American citizen, who was born here. And nobody have no protest, no march. Nobody was beating at the gate of the White House saying, how dare you kill this American citizen without trial and all this and that. No, they weren't saying these things. And they don't care. They don't care. Most people don't care about these cops, slave catchers out here extrajudicially killing people like Michael Slager. The jury's still out. I don't know what's taking them so long. They had a video other than they thinking about practicing racism and letting them get away with it. So, again, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't want to see people get killed. I don't want to see none of this misery, human misery going on. But that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. And being peaceful and talking about my hands is up and don't shoot will get you shot. Everything that people have tried for years and years and years and years and years to get these people to stop practicing racism has failed. So I'm a by any means necessary type of guy. By any means necessary. Again, I'm not saying that these people who were killed or hurt or whatnot, that they deserve to be targeted. I don't know them personally. I don't know if they've engaged in any acts of racism and terrorism themselves. I just simply don't know. But I'm going to approach this the same way the news, the corporate news media approaches when the United States government just reaches out and murders people for no good reason. Invading all these countries, bombing these countries. Oh, but we're supposed to feel so sorry when this kind of stuff happens to white people in this country. Again, I do not like violence, but I know that's the world that I live in. So, but if you're looking for a motive, there's your motive. He told you months ago in this paper where he was scared to even pray. Scared to pray. Scared to pray. I did not hear Jay Sekulow coming to his defense and hearing about this and saying, hey, everybody has a right to pray and not be persecuted and all that. Now, if he was a Christian, yeah, Jay Sekulow would have came and would have been taking up his case and arguing on his behalf. But because he's a Muslim, oh, no, we don't care about them if they're afraid or not. We don't care. So, those are the news articles, some of the news stories that I found intriguing enough to share with you today. I'm getting ready to close out the broadcast as we make way for Tando Radio Show coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The topic will be price versus value. Price versus value. So make sure you tune in to that right here on Black Talk Radio Network. If I find out that Blacks in Business Radio will be broadcasting tonight, of course, that'll be posted to our network, blacktalkradionetwork.com. If you believe in the importance of unbought, uncontrolled, uninfluenced media, independent media, truly independent media, then please consider making a donation to the Black Talk Media Project and support our various media operations. You can find out more about the Black Talk Media Project by visiting the website blacktalkmediaproject.org. All right, recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Slavery is the law of the land. They never stop practicing it, and they're always looking for new slaves for the plantation. So you need to be codified. You need to learn how to move behind the enemy lines without getting caught up in the system. And again, if you do, I'm not blaming you. If you have been, I'm not blaming you, but I'm just trying to get people to recognize that slavery was never abolished, and that's why the United States has the world's largest prison plantation. So you need to become an abolitionist before you become a slave. All right, become an abolitionist. Help us end slavery once and for all in this country by any means necessary. With that said, peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.